Sharon Eng and her husband live in Manchester now, but they spent a good chunk of their adult lives in Asia.
My husband and I moved to Hong Kong in 1989, and we returned to the States in 2005. So we got to see a lot of changes happen around the world. But in the latter part of our stay there, of course, one of the most impactful changes was when SARS hit.
The SARS outbreak, if you remember, was centered in China and Hong Kong. In some ways, it followed a similar pattern to the coronavirus, an unknown illness spreading through close contact. It caused respiratory distress and could be fatal. Eng and her husband at the time were raising three small children.
We had, in Hong Kong, been hearing about people in China boiling vinegar to ward off a strange pneumonia that was going around, and we sort of laughed it off. And then the virus spread.
The government in Hong Kong began releasing daily case counts, like U.S. states are today. She remembers checking the local English language newspaper.
We were terrified. Everybody's looking at the death count, and we didn't know how you would get it. We didn't know how easy it was to get it. We only knew that we wanted to be protected from it because they said it was really bad.
Schools in Hong Kong were shut down for 6 weeks. Eng had to wrestle cotton masks onto her kids and train them not to touch anything.
It was a constant thing about if we're out in public, don't touch things. Keep your hands in your pocket. Use your elbows when you want to press a button and things like that.
Ultimately, the SARS outbreak spread to 26 countries. It caused 800 deaths. As the virus faded, so did news coverage. And in a couple of years, Eng and her family returned to the United States.
We are not from New Hampshire, but we decided we could live anywhere we wanted to, and we decided to pick New Hampshire because it was pretty different from Hong Kong.
Sharon and her husband purchased a small manufacturing business in Belmont. It's called Contract Support Group. They make electromechanical pieces that go into other equipment. I asked her for an example. She said one thing they make are components for restaurant deep fryers. With kids and the company to run, SARS became a distant memory, until it wasn't.
When we started hearing about the sickness in Wuhan, it made us think about SARS right away. And my friends from Hong Kong and I, we noticed that we immediately started social distancing.
Eng began talking with her 16 employees about the risks. She shared her memories of SARS. And then the coronavirus emerged in the United States. Huge sectors of the economy were shuttered. Eng said ideally she would have been able to close down too, but because she's in manufacturing and her customers continued to need parts, she's felt obligated to stay open.
I could sense amongst employees that there was fear about coming to work every day. So you address fear with taking on facts and things that you can measure.
Things you can measure. One of those is your temperature. Eng got an idea. She asked her employees if they would be more comfortable if they were being regularly screened for a fever. Everyone on the factory floor agreed. She got a temperature scanner, and now, twice a day,
I go around to their work areas and, just like a daily chat time with them. Check in with them, how they're doing, and then it's temperature time. They have a habit of shouting out what their number is after I take their temperature.
Eng knows this isn't foolproof. She's also provided employees with masks. But it has created a sense of calm and some camaraderie. So her business carries on.
While we're very strongly economically affected, we can't fix the economics until we fix the public health problem. So we just have to knuckle down and take care of that first. And it requires all of us looking out for each other.
20 years after living through SARS, Eng says that basic philosophy still holds. Todd Bookman, NHPR News.